Welcome to episode 61 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how does the evening find you this evening, Wonky?
I'm doing good. Survived the 70-degree to thunderstorms to snow in all of 12 hours in Wisconsin, so, you know, had that this week.
I cannot say that we had all of that. We definitely had the, what was it? It was like 50 degree to 32 down to 20 and then snowstorm.
Yeah, that is, it was pretty wicked. So it came out of nowhere because we were at like 30 degrees the day before. I think, or like 40. And then, yeah, it jumped to like mid 60s to, I think it almost might have hit 70s, depending on where you were in Wisconsin. And then it was pretty nice all day. And then, yeah, the temperature dropped. I think the low ended up being like 19.
Damn.
So we went from 70 to 19. And then through the course of that, with the temp change, we got like crazy thunderstorms. I think there was like some hail. I don't know if we ended up actually getting tornadoes. We're in a tornado watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Well, and I was going to ask, how's the wife and kiddo?
They're doing good. They're doing good.
Well, I know the last time you talked, you'd said that the baby had come home with the...
Yeah,
mouth so and, like, yeah. Just started getting over that, so hopefully everything has gotten fully better.
Yep, and then she got sick again from going to daycare. We got to go through the she's never been exposed to it yet situation. So, she's doing good.
Okay, well that's good to hear. So, and obviously, still now that you're back to work, things are kind of going back to a normal rhythm.
Yeah, we're getting the schedule kind of locked in, but
good to hear.
It's not bad.
Well. Obviously, that's a little bit about personal lives, so let's jump into what the episode's supposed to be about, which is, first off, with Hobby Corner! All right, Wonky, let's talk about the Hobby Corner, because I know there's been some hobby on your side of things.
Yeah, we're doing some hobby stuff. So, yeah, I got my MDF in the mail, and it was actually nice enough last weekend. We had some temperatures where you can actually, you know, spray stuff, so... Yeah, I've got four tables worth of MDF. I used Krylon spray paint and primer.
Okay.
And basically the plan is instead of, I briefly debated buying a rattle can of each color I needed.
Right.
And then realized after the terrain squish, we'll call it.
Right.
So I gave my numbers before the terrain squish. And I got eight tables worth with a little bit of like overflow because it was like an additional, I think it was like an additional like quarter sheet or whatever it was. And then he just put more stuff on that because you buy it by the sheet.
Right.
So the numbers I gave him were for the pre-squish. So I did a little bit of calculation and I think my eight tables worth of terrain is pretty close to 10 tables of terrain now.
Wow.
I did, I don't remember if I have it handy, but yeah, because the number of, two hexes you need went down by, I think like six.
Wow.
Or something. Yeah. So I think it was. Like the number of four hex forests went down by one. The number of seven hexes you need went down from two to one.
Okay.
The number of curved walls went down from two to one. And then I think it was like six of the two hex ones. Mm-hmm. So it definitely so I was kind of calculating it out. So I think I actually have like two tables worth of terrain.
That are extra, basically?
That are extra, essentially. So I might not quite... I think the only thing I won't have enough of, I think, will be the one, the individual hex. So the one hex, you know, so Soul Pit, Shrines, Monster Pits. So yeah, I think I'll have 10 tables worth. I only got through four tables worth with what. So I don't know if I just misjudged it or I had not primed things in ages, but for some idiotic reason, I only bought one can of the two colors I'm doing. So I decided on two colors.
Okay.
Because I could do one can for each color, but then I started looking at it. I'm like, okay, so for, you know, two hex treacherous, there are two hex templates per table.
Right.
And then there's eight tables worth. That means there's 16 of them. Do I really want to buy, you know, I think it's like a $7 or $8 can of paint and primer
right.
to do, you know, that many, you know, 45 mil hexes. So I decided to go with two colors.
Sure.
Because from my understanding, the stuff I got, it's paint and primer. I should be able to paint over the top of it.
Okay.
So I went two colors. I went with a forest green kind of color. I think on their color, it's Spanish moss or something. Because there was either like a super, super dark green or like an almost like neon green that they call jungle something. I'm like, I just want something in the middle. And then I bought a gray that for like walls and effigies, I will leave gray.
Right.
And maybe obstructions. I might just do obstructions as well and leave those gray. And then I will, you know, get some just base, like base layer, base coat, like hobby paint. And then I'm going to paint different colors on the, like the seven hex, the smoke, the treacherous, the rough, and the teleporter. And then I will do the one hex things their own colors as well. So I haven't figured out my color key yet that I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'll probably follow Vassal for the most part. I think most of them make sense, besides I don't think I'm going to do the cloud as blue. I think it's got a blue outline in Vassal. And I want to do my soul pits in blue. So okay. I don't know if I need a lighter blue. So that was, and I might just do a white, I guess, for smoke. Would probably make the most amount of sense. So I've got four tables worth of it primed. So that means all of the forests and all of the walls and effigies are good. So then I just need to paint the two hex stuff and the one hex stuff. And then I'll have four tables of MDF pretty much ready to go.
That's impressive.
So, and I've got roughly, I've got at least four more tables. And like I said, I think I can get to six. I think I can stretch it outside the one hex stuff. And I guess I do have a bunch of like random proxy bases that I was using for doing like train layouts kind of during the transition.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just use that and cannibalize it into the one hex stuff. It might be, I don't know if the thickness is the same, but I don't know if that really matters a huge amount. So,
nice.
So yeah, I've made really good progress on it. I am trying to get some of this done by Adepticon. I don't think we'll need it for running the events, but I don't know how accessible the train's going to be when we're not doing events yet.
Right.
So it's more of a like, hey, I can, you know, if people are doing some pickup games, I can, you know, hey, here's a set of train for your table or whatever.
Right.
You know, as long as I get it back, depending on who's playing, and I can lend it out to people I trust.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So yeah, I'm hoping this weekend the temperature's supposed to climb back up, because of course it went down to like, you know, 20 degrees for the one day after we got snow, and now it's back and it's gonna be back in the 40s. But I think it's supposed to hit the 50s over the weekend. So I'm gonna go pick up, you know, a couple of cans of gray, like a smart person, instead of just one of each, because I ran out of my gray. Yeah. Like, I've got a lot of the green left, but I ran out of gray really quick. So I'm going to go get another can, probably like 2 to 3 cans, maybe, I think.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
And I don't actually know how well paint is going to go over the top of the stuff. I've heard that it should be fine. My brother talked to some hobby folks up at the game shop and said that it should work. I mean, I might just have to do, you know, like maybe a second coat or something, but yeah, I'm pretty pumped about it, because once that's done, I've got I purchased a handful of mats from the Mats by Mars guy. I've got chess clocks from my brother from when he used to run War Machine events. So basically, outside of monsters, which are proxyable, I'll have a pretty well set up event kit. So I'm nice. pretty pumped. But yes, I'm doing hobby stuff. It's weird.
I mean, is it though? It's really just you're doing the stuff to get your community a place to play.
I'll mention this. I have been mulling over the idea of trying to paint some stuff with contrast paints. So, like, we're slowly approaching the I might attempt to start painting again.
Okay.
We're slowly getting there.
Look.
But seeing what my brother can do with some of the contrast stuff, or is he speed paints? I think he is speed paints.
Speed paints, but I mean, they're basically the same thing.
Yeah. But, like, he's been ripping through stuff. Like, he pretty much paints like a model a day during his lunch break.
Nice.
So he takes like 20 to 30 minutes and he gets a model like tabletop ready, which is pretty fast. So I might have to see if I can maybe start messing around with that. Because I do have a handful of V2 models that aren't still built yet that I'm staring at right now because they're on my desk staring back at me. Not that I mean I could get the one guy I've gotten paint stuff to paint some more stuff, but we'll see. I might try it, like, because I've got a Terra staring at me to build, and that seems like a very easy model to do in contrast paints.
Yeah,
because I mean, it's all just rock.
Some other things that are easy to do in contrast paints. Grab some of your tokens.
I don't really have a lot of tokens because I just have the PVC starter and I did not do a resin upgrade.
Gotcha.
Because having a full line of V1, I thought I would save money and do PVC.
Right.
Because I can just. Right. Yeah, because this is one of those where it's. Yeah, I could. Like, I'll eventually get them for V2 because it probably they are a bit nicer to play with than the V2 scale versus V1. But it was one of those where, like, I'm buying some models I already have, some, like, I'd rather save a bit.
I feel you.
Because you can bet I am bringing out full V1 when I play Buybuster people for the events. Because actually I put the picture in the Discord. I've got Kogan and Donergar staring at me currently. Well, along with Sharn and Zaffin, but they're not available yet.
Right.
So, but yeah, they're hanging out because I pulled them out because I needed more space when Victor released because I needed to fit more monsters in my bag.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, we got Adeptcon rolling around. Fabius, what, do you even know what warband you're playing to paint that you have to paint, or what are you working on for paint projects?
Well, I mean, I'm pulling a typical Fabius move and going, we're 2 weeks out from Adeptcon, going, it's going to be one of these two.
I mean, we're technically 3 weeks out, so you have an extra week in there.
Sure, we'll go with that. but I'm still like, I can do one of these two. And, I have been working on, so let's see here. This week I built Yorg.
Okay.
So that was progress, at least on a model that I hadn't done yet.
Okay. Is he like looking like he's making a warband, or is it just you built him to build him?
I built him because I was watching a stream painting one of my buddies painting, and I was like, I am not going to sit here and do nothing. Build.
Okay. Yeah. Not a bad idea.
And then paint wise, let's see here. I've got a base coat on my V2 Isabel that is the Squire Isabel now.
Okay.
And I've got a base coat on, who else did I just do? Let's see. Sorry, I'm looking. I had been working on Maltique, and then I ended up like putting her down, and I was just like, I'll deal with you later. that's what it is. So a buddy of mine gave me some Dark Souls minis a while back.
For the board game?
Yeah. So okay. He gave me a couple of the bosses from it and was like, hey, when you get time and you feel an inspiration, here you go, right? And so, like, this last week has been a pretty tiring week for my brain work-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, cool, I need to not look at something that is judgment for me right now because where I'm still picking my warband, a little bit of that feels like work at times right now.
Okay, so you're pushing it off by painting other stuff instead of painting the stuff you need to. I like it.
Look. if your brother can put models out in 20, 30 minutes, I should be able to too, right? No problems.
I mean, partly it depends on the level you're comfortable with, right? So, like, my brother is much more of a hobbyist than I am, but he's also not like a... He's not going to do, 20 hours on a model because it's... Yeah. You know, he didn't like how he shaded a thing, so he redoes it or, whatever.
But, no, so basically because this last week has been that way for me with a little bit of work kind of has been invading my head space elsewhere, I was like, cool, I'm going to do something that I find fun and enjoyable for me. And so I broke out one of the Dark Souls boss models, and I started working on it for him, and, like... I think I've spent probably about 2 or 3 hours on the model right now.
Yeah.
And it's already, like, minus a few extra details that I'm going to do to it, it's basically done. Okay. So it's been kind of a nice break. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I can put these skills to work, do that here, while I've been figuring out, like, what I want to do with the Isabel. Because the more I've been doing some playtest games with different lists, she's actually been fitting into those.
Yeah, I mean, she can fit in. I feel like anything right
now. She really can. And so, like, I was like, cool. Her Squire model will not take me super long to paint up. So I was like, put a base coat on it, and then I'll hit her next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like I haven't been working towards it, but I'm also waiting to see, because I just ordered Victor on Wednesday.
Okay.
Along with a Dorg and an Algorath. And if they get here quick enough, I'm going to try to get them painted up.
Okay.
If they don't, I do have a backup model, which is Alandir.
I mean, I do. Well, I guess I can't promise it to too many people, but I do have a V1 Victor with the demons painted. But I think I might have offered it to Sunny already.
Yeah, you did, and that's fine. I'm not so worried about that.
Yeah, so otherwise I'm like, well, it might have been an option.
Well, I mean, I still have my old V1 Victor and Algorath. The only one I don't have painted up is... Dorgacon.
Okay.
And, well, you know,
I have two of those, so, you know.
Yeah.
That are both painted.
So, worst case scenario, there's that. But I honestly...
And it would be funny to watch the V2 Tiny Victor put out the V1 54mm Dorg. That would be a little bit entertaining to see on the table, but yeah.
Why do you summon me? Kill him!
Yeah. By the creature from the Black Lagoon looking... V1 Dorg.
Right. But yeah, no, so my plan is if they get here in enough time, which is, you know, hopefully like Monday, they show up. It's kind of what I'm hoping. I can still break them out, get them built, and get them painted.
Yeah.
But I've already come to the understanding with like my Algorath and Dorg, if they do get here early enough, I'm not going to like spend a super amount of time on them. I'm going to do some quick levels of contrast, maybe a quick blend here and there, and then move on. And that's just because eventually those will become the ones that are my like monsters.
Yeah.
Not the summon ones that I want. Right. So that's kind of where I've been at this last hobby week, but realistically, now that work is letting up a little bit, my hobby desk for next week is probably gonna get jam-packed with some stuff, which I'm actually very excited about. And I've been messing with my airbrush again, getting that working through again. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, you probably can paint stuff pretty quick if you're good with an airbrush. I've never used one, and I won't ever set one up. So yeah,
I'm just starting really to use mine, but it does let me get some nice like base coats laid down very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I can move, instead of having to sit there with a brush, I can be like, cool, this is the color I want on them. And I hit him with the airbrush, and it's move on, get right into doing some shading, some highlighting, stuff like that. So it's fantastic. So
that's good.
But yeah, that's so that's my hobby desk for the week. And yeah, I think with that we should move right into our next segment, which is Judgment News. All right, Wonky, we know what's coming. It's Adepticon. We mentioned it in the hobby corner here, right? And we know that it's hitting March 20th through the 24th. It's in Schaumburg, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. We have two events out there, and those are what?
Yeah, we've got the threes on Friday. That was sold out. They did up the seats to 30. I don't know why they did not go to 32, but...
my guess would be space, but...
yeah, but...
like, I don't know. So I mean,
threes is less space than fives.
Yeah.
And we have 32... Now, but it's also Friday, because I would have thought that space... I don't know. Anyways, we have 30 people. We still have a little... We still have a bit of a wait list for the threes events. But yeah, if you still want to try and get in, I would highly recommend getting on the wait list. That's where you pull from first. For people, and then we've got fives on Saturday. I believe we are still currently full. Yeah, we're still currently full. Okay. For fives, but that wait list is a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's if you're thinking about coming or thinking about maybe trying to get in the event, please get on the wait list. I can't stress that enough. Also, it is fully painted as per the model policy of Adepticon. Now, I did get multiple questions about effigies.
I was going to say, let's talk about the painting policy just to put it out there again.
Yeah.
So people are clear as to what is required, what is not.
Yeah. So models in your warband will be required to be painted. So that will be your heroes and anything your heroes summon. Okay. Effigies, I am considering as terrain, and they would not need to be painted. Okay. If you're bringing, you know, your god's effigy. Or just an effigy model, because you'd rather use, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So I'm considering that terrain. And then monsters that are out on the table, I'm also putting, I'm treating in the same category as terrain. Because they're not, again, you're bringing them so that we can not have to use proxies or other, you know, other options for that. So... those will not have to be painted. I am considering them essentially terrain, which I think is fair. So
to me, that
your
seems
war...
like it. They're terrain that just moves around the board.
Essentially, yep. So so your warband and anything your warband summons does need to be painted, though. So, okay. And they have a three-color standard that has to look... what I forget the exact wording, but it must look like you put effort in, I think, is the... like the line that they use or something. So look, you can't just put three color stripes on a model and call it painted.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get why they do that itself. Is they have a standard to represent, right? And that's good.
Correct.
But I do know that there were people when that three color standard first came out, that's all they were doing, right? Right, was grabbing a rattle can and hitting it with this color, then this color a little bit further down, and then this color further down. And it's like, guys,
yeah,
come
I mean,
on.
I've legitimately... seen pictures of an army where it was primed like one of whatever the gray is of GW, and then they literally took a paintbrush and they did one line from like chest to like hip area, and they did that with three different colors, and they that is what they did.
Wow. Okay.
And it was a full army. I think it was like an Eldar army for 40k or something. And yeah, so for like each trooper they were just primed to gray, and then they had just three colors that were just stripes essentially down their like chest to like hip area basically.
Wow.
And that was it. So I'm like, okay, I like that I would not be okay with. But you also don't need to be like Golden Demon or Resin Beast level of painting either. So like, right, so
it's, I mean, put some effort into it, but don't, you know, don't stress. It's right.
Yeah that's kind of my thought, is it's just like make it an effort that I can tell you're trying to paint and not just circumvent the policy. That is pretty much where I'm at with that. So, and then, yeah, the plan will be for the Soldier of the Vents on Friday and Saturday. I know I'm getting in Wednesday afternoonish time frame, so we'll probably be trying to coordinate pickup games then. We have no official event on Thursday, so I might try again and try and see if we can get some pickup games going or possibly some of the multiplayer modes. And then, well, I mean, Thursday, I mean, it might not be till afternoon. I usually like going through the, like, vendor hall because it's still interesting to go walk through because Defcon's vendor hall's pretty good. And then it might be the same on Sunday. I don't know how long I'll be there, and I actually don't know when the con closes on Sunday. I think it's, like, 3 or 4 o'clock, but I'm not really 100%. So normally we tend to leave pretty early on Sunday, but I think my brother is in an event that goes on Sunday. So depending on what his team decides, he'll have to be playing a couple of rounds on Sunday. So I will be around on Sunday for a while.
I know myself, Coonerbus and Watts will be there Wednesday. Coonerbus and I will definitely be looking for some pickup games on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I believe Watts is in a class. And then Thursday, I've got a couple painting classes, but I'm going to be looking for a game or two in, like, in the middle, because one of my classes is early, and then one of them is late.
Okay.
And then Friday, Saturday, playing the events, obviously. And then Sunday, we're open, because we're actually not heading out Sunday. We are staying.
Oh, through Monday?
Yeah, we're staying, and we'll leave Monday, because last year I was really bummed that we had to leave on Sunday, like, early morning.
Okay.
And so I looked at both of them this year, and I was like, guys, let's stay, see if there's anybody that's sticking around that wants to play games or anything like that.
Yeah, I think there's usually a couple people. Like, I know we've always kind of debated it for Warfare Weekend because it's so much longer of a drive.
Yeah.
But Adepticon's also, like, you get there Wednesday, and you're through Sunday, so it's already been 5 days. So let's – and we're way close. Like, we're, like, at, like, an hour and a half drive, so it's really – makes sense to be able to still, you know, not have to do another hotel room Sunday night. But
but I was also thinking, like, this works for if there's anybody there that's, you know, even local that wants to, like, hey, let's go out and get a beer this night, or let's go out and do this.
Yeah, there's quite a few Chicago folks. I know I've been on there a couple of times to play. So I would assume. And one of the – and the store actually went down and played at – a couple of weeks ago is like 10 minutes, like 10, 15 minutes from the convention center.
See, and that's to me would be something that's fun.
Yeah.
So, but, all right. Well, do we have any other news we need to cover?
I mean, I think we already talked about Victor coming out last time. So we got Victor and Dorg. I mean, I guess the other kind of little bit of news is there's not a Judgment release in March.
Yeah.
So that was kind of brought up that because they did kind of, you know, like a 3-model drop with Victor, that Judgment won't get anything in March.
Which I will be honest. There's a part of me that's actually relieved to hear that myself.
Okay.
Because it means that we're not seeing anything drop tomorrow, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, I need to hurry up and order that and get it painted because it's something I'm gonna add to a warband.
I mean, I was kind of hoping we might see a little bit of, like, pre-release action at the booth at Adepticon, which maybe could still be in store. Right? Because it's towards the end of March. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of cool if, you know, at least maybe April's release or something, or maybe even April and May's release you could get in some limited amount of quantities, right? Not that, it wouldn't be that you couldn't get it when it released, but being able to kind of get it a little early would be kind of cool. For those that were at the convention. So
that's fair. Yeah.
That would be kind of nice, but I don't think we've really seen that yet. I mean, I guess.
Well, I mean, Lori.
I guess at Warfare, right? We got Yorgoth and Lori, and I think they were technically a little early from the retail release.
I believe so.
So.
So that's that. I mean, that was good. So we might see something like that again.
We could. We could. We haven't seen anything specific, right? But doesn't mean that's not happening yet.
Yep. So, well, Wonky, now that we've done the news, let's mm-hmm. get into the thick of things with the episode.
Yep.
And honestly, I think there's a topic at hand that has been brought up recently in some of the channels and stuff, and even brought up with some other folks and such talking about it. So let's jump right into it. And that's let's talk about the summoners of this game.
Yes.
Because obviously they're starting to come out. Like, since the launch of V2, right, we haven't really had any summoners except for, realistically, Zarin and Gendrys, right?
Yeah, so a bit of a hot button issue lately is some discussions on summoners, and obviously with the release of Victor, arguably the best summoner in the game. It's something where people are quickly trying out like summoning lists or summoning focus lists. And yeah, V1 hit, you had Gendrys, who requires level 3 to summon a Terra. Mm-hmm. And you had Zarin, right? Mm-hmm. So Zarin's skeletons at level 1. You can crap them out each turn. They get super annoying.
Yep.
But they're not very scary. Terra is very scary from Gendrys, but does require level 3. Mm-hmm. But Victor does not require any levels to get out either Algorath or the Dorg. And both are kind of scary in their own way.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Algorath's not super scary. He's more annoying.
Yeah,
but I mean, Dorg can be very scary.
Well, but like, and so I guess that's the thing, right? Using the word scary maybe is not the best term.
Mm-hmm.
They both have different impacts on the game.
Yeah.
And to me, Dorgs can feel like it's a much more direct impact, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going to, I mean,
it's damage output.
For lack of a better term, yeah. He's going to show up, he's going to drop in, and he's going to try and impact crater somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what he does. Whereas you have Algorath is going to show up, and he's going to be annoying and control and make it so you have to do things that you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So... so let's talk about this as a whole. What is your take about summoner's impact on the game?
Yeah, so I think we're definitely seeing quite a bit of impact on them. I mean, Victor is seeing a lot of play right now. I think in the last year, because it just ended now. Mm-hmm. He was seeing quite a bit. I think, you know, Zarin, you'd kind of see in spurts, depending on if Krognar was kind of popular or not. But I think Victor is, you're seeing him a lot of, even out of God, I feel like. And he is Tomas and Krognar, yes, if I'm remembering right.
Tomas and Krognar. Yes, sir.
So I think you're even seeing him a bit. Like, I think I was watching you today and you're playing him in Bruellen.
Mm-hmm.
You were not the only person I think I've seen play him in Bruellen. I haven't seen him in Gruul or Ista yet, and I don't recall if I've seen it in Torin, but I've seen Bruellen for sure. Tomas and Krognar, I've definitely seen him. I think Krognar's probably where he's strongest, just because of a couple of things I give him. But yeah, I think the impact of them, and like, it's not a thing that's going to be going away. And theoretically, we're only going to get more summoners. Like, I don't think what we have currently for summoners is going to, like, we're not going to remove heroes, right? Or remove summons. Because they're usually pretty important parts to a model's kit. Like, say you got rid of skeletons from Zarin. Like, that would kind of completely gut the character, right? So, so they're definitely going to stick around. I think they've got some impact. And I think the next portion of this is probably why they're going to keep having an impact on the game. And Fabius, what's the important thing that the summoners bring?
The summoners bring massive action economy. So one of the things with Judgment, right, is normally with a normal team without a summoner, you can count on your opponent gets 3 actions. And those actions are limited by, are they engaged? Are they not? Do they need to charge? Is there an effigy power that's going on? Little things like that can definitely change how you base your action economy and what you think your opponent can do, mm-hmm. right? But once you throw a summoner into the mix, now, even if it's, let's say, the Terra, right?
Yep.
Let's go with a Gendrys level 3 Terra. or level 3 Gendrus's Terra, you throw that on the board, it does limit some action economy from Gendrus herself, because she drops down to 2 actions.
Correct.
But now you have a Terra on the board that your opponent's getting to control, and they get 2 actions with that Terra as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to think about, are they going to charge with that Terra? Are they going to huck a big rock at me with that Terra?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with that Terra? And it can throw the action economy really out of whack.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, right, when you look at the number of actions you get per turn, you and your opponent get the same number of them, right?
Yep.
You get 15, your opponent gets 15. In ways that you can screw with that action economy when it's always a fixed number is very strong, right? So mm-hmm. One of the things I always kind of go back to a bit with is, like, cruel, right? So
yeah.
Bloodlust is just giving an action for an action, but it's usually giving up an action from, we'll say, quote-unquote, a weaker model to a more powerful model in the circumstance, right? So,
right.
Like, an extra action on Zhonya is very strong for maybe an action that Cruel really wasn't going to do much, right? He couldn't Soul Gaze. His attacks aren't nearly as good as a Zhonya attack. So that kind of stuff kind of shifts the action economy, and it's one of the reasons why Bloodlust is very strong.
Yep.
But here you're generating extra actions. Now, some of those extra actions you're generating are not very, like, they're not equivalent, right? So, like, right. A summoned skeleton action is not the same as a Thorgar action.
Correct.
But when you stack enough of that together, it starts adding up. And the kind of the other thing too that's a little bit more hidden with this is having to deal with those summons.
Yes.
So Zarin Skeleton is 4 hit points. To kill a Zarin Skeleton, pretty much any model in the game needs to crit.
Yep.
I take it back. Most models need to crit to kill a Zarin Skeleton. That's pretty fair. Much, you know, any 2, 3, 4. I mean, I guess Thorgar can solid one, you know, Thrommel. God, Thrommel trying to kill, having to kill a skeleton.
There
sad.
Are a few models out there, correct. Right, who can use
yep.
one thing to basically kill them with a glance or a solid. But most yep. people need to spend and get
probably
a crit
2 actions.
Or a solid and a
or glance. A solid and a glance, yeah. right? And granted, they're edgy too, so they're not impossible to crit. Right, like an actual dedicated damage dealer is getting 5 dice. A crit's relatively, I don't know what the dice odds are, but 5 dice on a skeleton, crit's not unreasonable. Now, and this is where, like, the hidden action economy comes. So if you have a skeleton and mm-hmm. they try to kill it, they miss, they don't kill it the first attack. Now they're burning another attack to kill it.
Bingo.
Right? And now you're sapping actions out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously ways to get around it. You know, a Hunter's Knife works on summons.
Yep.
So that's also helpful for killing them.
So does
them.
Monster Hunter from things like Brock.
Correct. So there are ways where you can quickly remove summons, but you're still spending some amount of actions. And if I'm using a Brock to kill, like, we'll say an Algorath, like there's a lot better things I would like my Brock to be killing than that, right?
Oh, yes.
So there's that part of the action economy too. And so I think we're going to kind of see summoners, and we're going to go through something a little bit here that'll be kind of interesting with it. But that's the part of it that it's not even just like the extra number of actions you get. I think it's sometimes also the actions you like sap out of your opponent.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, like, that's the thing I was getting at with the action economy itself when I talked about it, right, is you're going to lose an action on Gendrus, for example, with Terra.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Terra specifically because Terra is probably the one summon out of all of them that are available that's going to stick around the most.
Skeletons can if you position them well or right. they just decide to ignore them because sometimes you just kind of have to.
Yeah. But, I mean,
Dorg, like, isn't – he's what – 10 hit points at edgy 4.
He's not going to stick around super long.
Yeah, I mean, he still takes some amount of effort.
He does. Terra is definitely the one
that's going to, you drop a Terra and it's usually sticking around a couple of rounds where, like,
yeah.
I could see a Dorg you know, coming out, doing a bunch of damage, and then
gets
you kind of got to kill it because it's really dangerous. You can't just let it, like, kind of hang about. Like,
correct.
Leaving a Zeran skeleton, okay, if you know, whatever. It's going to be annoying.
Okay, I'm going to take a parting blow from you. Go away.
Yeah.
But that Terra, on the other hand, while, yes, it limits Gendrus, and it gets two activations on its own that you have to think about, you now have to legitimately think about, what am I going to use to take this thing out?
Yeah.
And what actions are worth spending on trying to take this thing out? Because if you don't... I mean, even in my game today that I played against Corey, right? Like, that Algorath, he ended up sticking around for, like, three turns. Oof. Because every time he went to shoot him or do something with one of the models who was not taunted, he basically just rolled glance, and had to move away or something else. And it was just like, cool, well, you've done a grand whopping total of, you know, six damage between these three different attacks that you've spent on two different models.
Yeah, so just it and it's extra hit points for your warband too, right? Like, if they're killing Terra, I mean, that's 10 hit points at res too. Like, that takes some investment, right? Or even Dorg, it adds you 4 or 10 hit points. So that's, you know,
still investment.
That's two crits from, you know, like a bruiser.
Yep.
Or it's, you know, two crits and a glance from, you know, a 2-3-4 track. So, like, even that could take a full hero's activation to kill a Dorg.
Yes, indeed.
So there is that part of it too. So yeah, I think the summoners are going to be intriguing, and I think the action economy is probably the part that it might not be immediately obvious.
Yeah.
But I think when you can start stacking it a little bit, which now we can do, because we've gotten a few more summoners.
Yeah.
We're starting to see that kind of come out as a play style.
Yeah. For sure. And I mean, you mentioned it already that obviously from here on forward, summoners are not something that are going to go away.
Correct.
They're really going to just grow in number, and it's going to be about what they can summon, right?
Yeah, in their efficiency in summoning it. I think that's right. Part of it too.
Agreed, 100%. So we've talked about Victor being able to summon Algorath. Yeah. We've talked about being able to summon Dorg, Gendrus, Zeran. But let's talk about a hero who's going to be coming down the pipeline, because we know she's already been basically pre-beta tested and all that. She's basically ready to go, at least last that we had heard.
Right? Yeah. So,
and that's Svetlana, one of your dwarves.
Yeah, so Svetlana is a soul gazer. She's like the monster druid person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at level 3, she can summon I think they call it a Shadowhound instead of Gloom. Yeah. But essentially a Gloom. I think it's like almost the exact same stats. I think the only thing that's different is the Shadowhound can hand out stealth, if I remember right.
Correct.
I don't have my cards directly in front of me or Vassal
the,
up.
The Gloom could hand out
at least from the playtest. Now, granted, this could still change for release, but as of when we saw her in the beta test, or open beta test, or whatever it was last fall,
when they released them to us to be able to play around.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I think hers was pretty cheap. I think it was like one action and one fate to summon it. I really don't remember off the top of my head.
I do believe. Here, actually, I've got the. It's an action and a fate to summon it.
Okay.
It's a movement 3, add G4, melee 8, so it's...
It's Gloom stats.
It's Gloom stats there. It's 2-3-5.
Okay, so the damage is down, right? Because Gloom's like 3-5-6.
I think he's, 3-5-6.
So the damage is down, which makes sense. That if he had the normal Gloom
No, that makes sense. And then you have... It naturally has invisibility or stealth, right?
Stealth, yep.
And then it has... According to this, it still has leap, so it can do the same thing Drelgoth can do.
Yep.
And then it's 8 health, and it has, I assume it's going to be something like greater stealth or renamed or something, because it's great, or it's called grant invisibility, so probably grant stealth.
Yeah, probably grant stealth, yeah.
And it gives them invisibility.
Okay.
So, and it's within 3 hexes.
3x. Okay, that's kind of, a lot of buffs are usually 2x, so that's kind of nice.
So it may jump down. Who knows?
But. Yeah, and I think he only has two actions as well, right? If you're granting stealth, you know, you're probably moving and granting stealth versus making attacks. Also, does they have a range attack where that's kind of interesting with Terra and Dorg, right? Is that you've got, you can summon it. It could I guess Dorg can shoot twice. Terra shoots once because it's two action on the rock chunk.
It's Terra's rock.
It is. It's Terra's rock. It's a scary rock. So, yeah, Svetlana, and I think she's going to be really popular. I don't think you're going to necessarily take her for the summon. I think you're going to take her for a lot of the other parts of her kit, and then the summon will be kind of, you know, the gravy on top kind of situation. And she's a Soul Gazer, right? So usually getting a Soul Gazer to 3 is not something that feels too insane. Yeah. And then what's the other one that we had beta tested that you wanted to make sure we brought up?
Yeah, I want to make sure that it's brought up just simply because she's one of my girls. I love her. And I do want to see if she changes between now and then, right? But it was Ramona. When she was released, she had her ability at level 3 that she could start summoning the skeletons like Zarin as well.
Yeah, Zarin skeletons, yep.
Which meant, obviously, she could still do what, because it was the same familiar, she could do whatever the skeletons can do. And it's one of those things that, while realistically, like you and I were talking about initially, it's not like it's something you're going to do with her regularly, because trying to get, like, getting her to level 3 is already hard enough.
Yeah, and she's not a character I feel like you would want to force to 3, right? Because, because the Zarin Child, I think it's called now.
Yeah.
It's not a bad summon, but it's not particularly strong.
Right.
Especially because I don't think she can Soul Harvest through it. Is the Soul Harvest rule on the Zarin Child or Zarin?
I don't remember. That's a good question.
Because she's undead. So,
take a look.
Summoning a skeleton, you're not going to Soul Harvest, unless you do it to blow up a soul, maybe. Yeah, that someone else is going to harvest. That might have some value.
That is the Unholy Vessel is on the skeleton.
Okay, so she could undead Soul Harvest through the skeleton. So that's kind of intriguing.
And so is Soul Tuned. So if they keep it at it, that it's the standard skeleton that she can summon. Okay. Now, granted, this is me using Warband Commander, so I'm going to hop into Vassal real quick while we're talking about this. Okay. Just to double-check that Skelly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the skeletons have changed.
I don't think so either,
since VT launched.
I'd rather double-check our statements than...
Yeah.
Okay, of course I clicked the wrong button right away. Stat card, let's see. Skeleton. No, they have the Unholy Vessel on them, and they do have Soul Tuned, so is the summon cost of a skeleton is one action less for, you know, if they have at least a soul bound to them. Which she's undead, she won't ever have that.
She won't ever have that, but I guess undead soul harvesting through them would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
I guess it is at a -2, and I don't remember what her soul harvest was.
If she's like any of the other undead, she'll probably be a 4 or a 5.
Yeah, so at -2, you need a 9, but it is kind of cheeky to be able to, like, oh, you're going to do this thing, you know, over here. I'm going to use a skeleton just to eat the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the only ones that we have seen, you know, previously in some of the open beta tests they've done. And then, obviously, Victor just launching.
Mm-hmm.
So summoners are just, they're only kind of going up in the in the amount. So I don't think some of these work overly well together. But there are some combinations that tend to work. So why don't we move on here?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that.
So with that, we're going to enter into our next segment, which is
Enter the Dojo.
All right, Wonky. You cooked us up a summoner warband.
I did not cook this up.
Oh,
I
then you
take,
found it.
I played against it.
Oh, okay. Who played this one? Your brother?
No. I'm trying to look on Vassal.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I think it might have been Killjoy.
Okay.
On Vassal played me with this warband, so I will take no credit for it.
Okay.
But I think it's not far off what we've heard some rumblings about. So the idea is to maximize the ability to summon.
Okay.
So they played Krognar, which I think is probably the best if you're trying this kind of warband, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But so the warband is Zarin, which you know, Krognar staple. Victor, who's also in Krognar.
Yep.
Rakir.
Okay.
I think it was Rakir. I'm fairly confident it was Rakir. I'm trying to remember now. Okay. Cradle, Lugdrug, Kogan, and Gendrys.
Okay.
So pretty much not anything super crazy. I mean, it's got Cradle. I'm trying to remember if it actually had Rakir or not now. So I'm doing a bit of this from memory.
Okay.
But essentially, the core is Zarin, Victor, and Gendrys.
Okay.
So you're taking all three of the current summoners, and you're taking them in Krognar. I think the big part, at least when we were playing, was the one EP effigy recall was so insanely good for this warband. So part of the way that this warband works, and part of a thing that's kind of floating around a bit, is basically you give your first turn monster kill to Gendrys, and then you give her the Tome of Experience to then get her to level 3 on, you know, either on turn 1 if you have the action left over, or, you know, beginning of turn 2, and then she walks and then can summon a Terra. So that's kind of like the idea. And then the idea is you constantly have a Terra to deal with. I was silly and decided to ban Zarin, so I had a Victor to deal with, which, you know, Algorath and whatnot. So, and then the idea is basically to, like, get a lot of work out of Terra. And then you have the Victor summoning. So it is kind of fate expensive to do this kind of a setup. Because, right, you only get one fate to start. It's usually, you know, usually the monster, the friendly monster is only one fate. So you're spending both your fate. You're not giving level or items to other models that kind of want them. Like Rakir and Kogan both kind of want levels and items. And you're taking that away from them with this plan. But the idea is the focus is more on Gendrys and the Terra versus you know, the Kogan stuff. So a couple of kind of cheeky things with this warband. Currently, the EP states that only champion models that get teleported with it for, is it Shadow Dance or Shadow Play or whatever it's called? Currently, only heroes are not allowed to attack the effigy. So you can EP and summon currently and attack the effigy, which my opponent was very good about being annoying with. With like putting a shadow orb essentially right near my effigy to try and threaten it, and he got to actually shadow door. Oh, I think he had Skull in his warband. Yeah, he had Skull in there maybe instead of Rakir, because basically what he ended up doing is he got Skull at one point, like a level and an item buy or something, so he had like a Vorpal and was warrior, and then he used Cradle to shadow door him to shadow orb adjacent to my effigy. And how he got that shadow orb up there was a soul that I missed harvesting, and then what he did with Victor is he soul stepped to the soul, which dropped and the then orb. he walked to my effigy.
Oh, wow.
Dropped the orb on it, and then he won action point effigy recalled. So I literally could do nothing, right? Like, and I had a Zyvera, and I think I whiffed a 6, I think even with a reroll to harvest. So, like, I couldn't do anything. And then he walked the Victor up there and did the orb. Because he put another really aggressive orb near my effigy, and I actually walked, I think, Zyvera back to destroy it. Because I'm like, I know what you're trying to do, like, because even if he wasn't going to go for the effigy, like, haha, my whole warband's behind you. Granted, this warband, I think damage-wise, isn't super scary, right? Because, like, you're not usually leveling and getting a Heartseeker on Kogan. You know, Victor's damage comes from his summon. So depending on, you know, what the fate situation, if he has it out. Because I don't think summons get placed from the effigy power. I'm fairly confident for Krognar. So that's kind of the...
Give me a second, I'll double check.
Yeah, so that's kind of the Summoner Warband. I think you can do some other variations, but I think right now the core is around Zarin, Victor, and Gendrys. Placed as real. As far as Fatlana goes, because she also needs three, same with Gendrys, I think it's a little bit harder to also try and get her to three as quick as you would with a Gendrys. So I don't know if that really provides as much value in, say, this Krognar situation.
So summons cannot be, they cannot be teleported.
Okay.
Because it says specifically when Shadow Dance is declared, friendly heroes within two of the Umbra Sphere.
Yep.
But here's the other thing. They cannot target, they would not be able to target the effigy either with Shadow Dance because it says straight up they are considered champions of Krognar. And friendly champions of Krognar models get
moved. Their summons are not considered
champions. I'm not talking about the summons. I'm talking about the hero models themselves. The heroes can't target it for sure.
Correct. The heroes can't, but the summons they summon, they can. Yes.
They absolutely can. But
yeah. So something to be aware of with this. You'll probably see it. People are running it. And I know, I think some people are running something similar. I think in Gruul because of Gendrys. I think people are just like forcing Gendrys a bit with the leveling. So I know that people are doing the same thing in Gruul, but only just to get the Terra. I don't think they're bringing Victor and Zarin in Gruul.
Yeah.
It's more just to get Gendrys up to three quickly. I think in Gruul it's not as good for two reasons. One, normally you really want to spend fate getting a couple of items on your stuff for Gruul. Like getting the Staff of Gruul out, I feel like is kind of important. Getting a level, you know, if you take like Yorgoth, who really wants a level. And then you're spending one of your few fate you tend to have on round two, again, depending on map, on a Terra. But if you're bringing things like, you know, Lorebella or, you know, something else, you might want some of that fate. And now you're spending it on Terra. Not to say summoning a Terra is not worth one fate. It most definitely is. So, but there is some Gruul warbands people are playing where they are forcing Gendrys to three to get the Terra out. So not quite like going heavy on the summoner kind of aspect like this Krognar one does, but just trying to get it with Gendrys from that perspective. So you might see that a bit. But yeah, this Krognar warband is pretty interesting. What do you what kind of thoughts you got on this warband?
Well, I mean, I definitely think it's an interesting warband. And it does beg the question of, like, who do you ban, right?
Yeah, I mean, I stupidly banned Zarin. Because it was a double soul pit map, and I thought the skeletons might be annoying, but it turns out the play would have 100% been banned Victor.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is I think looking at the warband that's here, I think a natural instinct is to look at Zarin, because obviously he's the Avatar, he's in God. Mm-hmm. It's a natural instinct to look at him. But I definitely think Victor's a good choice for a ban here.
Yeah.
Because that takes away Dorg, that takes away Algorath, so that takes away damage or control, either way. Cradle, I mean, you know me. I love my undead. She's an undead Minotaur. But she's got to be played a certain way with a certain amount of finesse to really make her work. You and I both talked about that before. But I think she can set up some interesting plays, which is very interesting to me. And she actually gives a little bit of sustainability to the summons, I think.
Yeah, because she can heal them, I believe, with Shadow Mist and Shadow Wraith. So,
that's kind of what I was curious about. And I'm like, I'm going to go take a look at this real quick. Because
it's probably just friendly model, most likely. I don't know why it would be friendly hero.
It is friendly model for the heal.
Yeah.
It is also friendly model for the Shadow Door.
Yep.
So, and it's also friendly adjacent model for the Shadow Shield. So,
yeah.
I love the plays that she can set up with this. I think this truly is one of those positions where you see where, like, her support can really, truly come out.
Yeah.
Which I really like. And then Lugdrug, obviously, he's there as a good classic defender. You know, he can sit there and be like, cool, my boy Kogan, I'm going to stick with him. We're going to roam the field, right?
Yeah, I forgot who he warded. Trying to remember. But, yeah, but it was just... Yeah,
I like that. I like that play as a whole. Gendrus is one that I definitely think is a great addition to this because, A, you still have Find a Path.
Yeah.
So Pathfinder's great. That means basically nothing can stop you. You get an extra
movement. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot that really wants to be super charging in this warband, though.
But it's not about charging. It's about getting that extra point of movement, so maybe Victor can
I guess you could double walk and summon and give you two extra movement.
Yeah. You know, but also, I mean, like, Skull to me in this one is fairly interesting as well. I saved him for last on this because, like Cradle, he has, with his Bulwark, with being able to go down the warrior path, he's got a lot of really good setup potential for letting even Zarin's skeletons, like coming in and being able to get one first turn, one second turn, one third turn, that kind of setup, right?
Well, you can't really do that with this because if you're racing Gendrus to
is like even one, if you get that, the first soul with Zarin, right? And then he gets one second turn, third turn, fourth turn. And you go that route instead, right? Skull being able to knock somebody down, the skeletons can put out more damage than a lot of people realize.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1, 2, 3, right? I think for the damage. So. Yeah,
but still, I mean...
Yeah, the knockdown, you're getting enough dice, the 3 can be a lot more consistent.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about your average... What's the average health that most models have?
In the 15 range.
Yeah, 14, 15, 16, right? I mean, an Alandir getting hit for, and I'm using Alandir as a perfect example.
Yeah.
If an Alandir gets hit for even 7 damage,
yeah,
that's half his damn health. He's not looking at you going, yeah, I'm still great. He's looking at you going, get me out of here.
I mean, I think if a Skull is knocked down an Alandir, you have way more problems than Zarin skeletons.
Well, the point I'm making is, like, when I played at Adepticon last year, and I had skeletons, I literally just used 3 skeletons to gang up on an Alandir.
Yeah.
And granted, your Alandir is in melee with 3 skeletons.
Yeah.
But it's still, you're getting 2 extra dice on them, so it's still, they're throwing 3 dice apiece.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that you just kind of like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. There's going to be solids
in there. Yeah, it starts adding up.
Yeah, and it adds up very quickly. So, like, I like the fact that the damage on this list is very, very, like, potent with, you can see it in Kogan and Victor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got the, okay, if Gendrus gets to level 3, you got a Terra. But then you also have Zarin being able to pop the skeletons if you need him to.
I think this build's meant to pretty much just get Gendrus to 3 to get Terra out. But
Yeah, I think so, too. But, like... Even getting a Terra an extra dice on a punch. Never a bad thing. It's just an extra dice towards a crit.
Yeah.
So. And. Your point about the effigy power to threaten an effigy.
Yep.
Like being able to drop them in where you want them and then summon these things and go, cool. I'm in range. I'm going to huck a big rock with Terra. That's a really cool, like, piece of tech that I think is fantastic to see. You know how I feel about effigy dives, things like that, but it's still fantastic to see from a tactical standpoint, in my opinion, because it's going to change how people play. It's going to change how people have to think about things.
Yeah.
So I think that's fantastic. So... Well, what other thoughts do you have on this warband?
I think it's pretty interesting. I think, like I said, I think you build some different variations where it's not so dependent on that. Like, I think, you could swap the Cradle out for something a bit more damaging. The problem is, with all the summoning, you got to be kind of careful with your fate, or what you bring if it wants fate.
Sure.
And I think in this warband, as much as like Gendris, like if you're not getting her to level 3, she feels like dead weight.
Okay.
I mean, because the couple of things that you would tend to want to use her for, right, would be, you know, bouncing lightning bolts, but, you know, you might want the Ring of Power on Zarin or Victor to make their stuff more potent. Find a Path and Pathfinder is not bad, but if your kind of plan is to summon stuff, you know, I guess Dorg, like, if you're summoning and get value on a Dorg, you probably want to, like, summon them where you can punch twice instead of charging, I think, if possible. And then Kogan would rather use the gun, so if some of the Find a Path, I think, loses value. I guess the woods aren't terrible, but again, if your plan's to summon, you're spending fate elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it does kind of make it feel like, you know, if you're on a map where you can give Gendris the monster kill and get her a tome, she's got value. But if you're on a map where you really can't, then you just drop her, I guess. And then, but then the rest of the warband doesn't feel like the greatest Krognar warband. I don't know.
Well,
so
I definitely think that with Victor, you give him an armor shredder.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess you get the extra magic because the souls, so the shredder's probably a bit better.
Mm-hmm. So that helps some of your damage go through, too.
Yeah.
But
that can make some sense.
Yeah. So if you were going to build this warband, is Cradle the only model you would sub out?
I'm not sure. I don't play enough Krognar. But I'm fairly confident that I would want to make sure the warband worked when Zarin, Victor, or even, I mean, even Kogan or Gen, like, because if Gendris is banned, you can kind of, you should want to be able to play a relatively standard Krognar list, I think, I feel like. If Victor's banned, you should still feel okay with your damage output, which I think you can be, right? You got Kogan, if you got the Gendris, if you're going to rush her to 3. I think if the Zarin's banned, you've got a couple of decent, so get, like Gendris isn't a bad backup Gazer. You know, Skull and Lugdrug are both 4s, so that's not bad. And if Kogan gets banned, you know, you've got Victor, you've got the Gendris you can level up for damage, and then you have Zarin, so then you get the full summoning package. So, yeah, I think maybe, like, looking at it, maybe the Lugdrug, maybe. Okay. I also might bring in, and I think I mentioned this after our game, I think I might bring in something to help with the monster killing.
That makes sense.
Because this warband, as it stands, is really bad at killing monsters. Yeah. So something like a Kane where he can kind of farm you some of that fate, I feel like, might not be a bad idea. It also kind of shores up probably the most glaring weakness this warband is probably its ability to monster kill, which, depending on your map, is kind of crucial.
You mean you don't want to do coin flips with Skull, you know, with a Hunter's Knife?
I mean, I actually don't hate that, to be honest with you. I've used it before in the past. But being like monsters are a big, like, can be a huge deal. So, if your warband's really bad at dealing with them, you kind of want a plan.
Yeah.
And I think Kane would be not a terrible slot in, for maybe Lugdrug or Skull perhaps. Cause I don't think they're going to, people are going to look at this warband and feel like they got to ban your tank. I think they're going to try and ban out like the Kogan, the Victor, or the Zarin.
Probably.
So, but yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that the summoning stuff will be kind of cool going forward. I'm curious to see what other stuff we'll eventually get to summon. Because that's always the fun possibility with them.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a more important question in this one. We know that Svetlana is coming. Would you replace anyone in this warband with her?
I don't know if I would necessarily stay Krognar if I was bringing Svet. I think if you wanted to do... I think if you're doing summoning that way, I might try, like, Ista or Gruul. Would I do Ista? Cause I don't know. Cause I really like leveling Isabelle now in Ista. Like leveling her seems really good.
You don't say leveling the avatar in her god.
I mean, I played a lot of games where Genjis doesn't get a whole lot of levels, and it's mostly like she gets it from like backup soul gazing or something.
I know. I'm just making the joke about Isabelle.
Yeah. So I don't know if I necessarily run that in Ista, but Ista can run a lot of really Fate Light models.
Uh-huh.
And they can run some that aren't level hungry. Like Brock kind of wants levels, but he'll naturally get them from murder and stuff.
Yep.
Isabelle wants levels. Thrommel can want levels.
Donnie doesn't care.
Donnie really does not. Marcus doesn't. Lori kind of, depending on what you got. I mean, Astario and Alendir both don't hate their levels.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could maybe see trying like a Svet Gendris. The problem is both of them need to be level 3. So it's like you book Gendris up and then hope that Svetlana gets to harvest a bunch.
Right.
But there is a nice little combo there where Svetlana can, you know, if they're trying to use terrain to be make stuff stealthy, she can light it up for Terra to go a-chucking.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think there's kind of some power in that.
Are we going to start calling this, you know, bowling with Terra?
Yeah. However, you know, the tome thing, like I kind of covered a bit before, you know, if you're doing that in Gruul, I think you're missing out on some of the power of Gruul, right? Like you're not getting the staff out. If you have Yorgoth in your warband, you're not leveling him. If you have Lori in your warband, you're tying up a lot of your fate in the Gendris, so she's not really able to at least threaten the grenade.
Right.
Because kind of like, so there's some of that where it's, I could see why you'd want to do it, but at the same time, I think, now there's definitely maps, I think there's what, one or two of them where there's like two monster pits you can kill first turn.
Yeah.
So like, if you have a setup like that, I don't necessarily hate it. Or you just have to understand you're not going to have, you know, the Staff of Gruul or... I mean, it's probably better if you don't bring Yorgoth. I just feel like if you bring Yorgoth, like, he's got to be who gets your level.
That's fair.
Or even him, you could tome, I suppose, too. But since he tends to kill stuff, I feel like toming a model like that's not as worthwhile. Though his level 3 is really good.
True.
So... Yeah, sure. I think you can try a couple of variations, but I think something in the Krognar vein, because the one action point effigy recall lets your stuff get out of danger. So like I said, what I talked about before, right? Like Victor teleported to the soul, walked to my effigy, was able to place the orb because he had the umbral sphere, and then recall back. And I had no, like, I could not stop that movement.
Right.
So... in the one action, because obviously if he teleports to the soul, walks forward to put the orb down and doesn't recall, gonna be in a lot of problem, a lot of trouble.
Yeah. No, 100%. So, well, I mean, so now that gives me some thoughts with what you're talking about there with being able to drop those souls like that.
Yeah.
What about putting a Rakir in that list, being able to jump to that orb?
Yeah, I think Rakir might be better than Kogan. Okay. Just because it gives you another shadow orb person. It gives you probably another like higher band target. Like banning Rakirs would feel relatively good against this warband.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if you swap him in for Kogan,
right?
Because it's not like you know some damage, right? You're gonna have the Gendris tearing at Victor. Skull can do a deceptive amount of damage. So from that, it might not be the worst idea to maybe swap Rakir in, get another additional Shadow Orb user, and get someone that can kind of go off some of those aggressive Shadow Orb plays.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, I know I'm more of the Krognar player than you, but
yeah,
I also like to hear your thoughts on things being the... you know, non-Krognar player.
Yeah, I definitely... And it might be better than Kogan, too, because I think Rakir can feel okay at level 1. where I think Kogan really that reach three to reach four on the blunderbuss is such a big deal. And he's really going to want a Heartseeker to try and make them more consistent. So.
So, well, and I guess that's the other thing is how often are you planning on being able to Battlecry?
Yeah, you're not probably not getting a good option to do that. I mean, same thing with Rakir with Toxin, right? But,
So, okay. Well, I mean, literally this is kind of where my thoughts were on that was, you know, what about this? What about that? I think that's always a good thing to talk about.
Yeah.
But, like I said, overall, I think this warband is I think it's got some room to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a fantastic, like, it looks like a warband to me that's already been being crafted.
Yeah.
And somebody has spent time really kind of trying to craft with this, even in their local meta.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if it was Killjoy that played, I think he's one of the KC guys.
I'm not sure. I have no idea.
But if he is, then he might be trying this even with his local meta and those guys. So, you know, obviously if this is him that's doing this, I would love to hear back and hear what the reports are on how it has been working. If there's any adaptation since.
Yeah.
Things like that, because you know me, I always like keeping an eye on really interesting warbands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always a fun thing to do. So, but yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of my thoughts on that, and I assume that's your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I don't have much more in this one, so.
Okay. Well, you know, guys, as always, if there are future topics you want us to cover, please keep those in mind. Send them to us via DM or via the podcast and streams channel. You can always hit us up. We're open to talking about ideas or lists, whatever it is you want. And as a final reminder, Adepticon is legitimately 3 weeks away. So get on those wait lists again, as Wonky has said.
Yeah.
And don't forget, get your stuff painted, as it will be required. So... otherwise, Wonky, let's portal on out of here.